invite you here, the one who is worthy to speak to us through that Spirit that moves among us, so that whatever these unworthy lips would say, your truth would be heard. God, prepare our hearts. And then speak to us. Teach us and lead us. We invite you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in week 9. We've been going for a while now on this series where we've been looking into how to be all we can be as a church. How do we thrive? What's a really healthy church look like? What kind of qualities does it have? It's a question that I don't want to say I was obsessed with, but man, I thought it was a really, really important question that just doesn't get asked enough. And we've had a bunch of characteristics, and I think all of them are pretty important. I'd like to review some of them with us right now. So we started out very week one with being scriptural. A healthy church, in order to thrive, a church has to be founded in Scripture. Our experience is important. I'm not one who just says, no, it's all just an intellectual exercise. You go to Bible study to learn stuff, and we keep it all up here. Experience is vital, but it needs to be grounded in Scripture. Otherwise, experience just runs away with how we feel about things. And we need to be grounded with who God reveals Himself to be. Week two, we talked about being inclusive. It's where we welcome people in all the way in. Not just, hey, it's nice to be here. You're not really one of us, and you probably won't live long enough. Maybe in third or fourth generation you will be, but eventually you could probably become one of us. No, we need to include people right into the very heart of our church. And I think, you know, let's not hurt our arms or anything, but we do that really well here, really well. Within one of the first couple weeks, I won't embarrass Dorothy by saying her name, but Lori spotted her standing over there and said, you know, she looks like she could have been here since we got here. She just like fit in that well. And this is, you guys, just welcoming people in. Our current president hasn't been here even as long as I have. We do. We welcome people in, and that's so vital to let people feel like they make a difference. And we have that kind of environment. We talk about the diversity in week three, which isn't just looking like we're diverse. It's actually being diverse. And that comes by us seeking out people with different opinions than we are. People who are different, culturally different than we are, politically different than we are. We just sang Holy, Holy, Holy. And I'll tell you, many years ago, Lori and I were in Fiji, of all places, in this church that was barely standing up. There was a ceiling that was kind of caving in and wasps flying in and out. They didn't have an instrument in that whole place, and they were singing in their own language, but it was Holy, 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 without a single instrument in there except for big, strong voices, and it was profoundly moving. I can't hear that song anymore. When we just go into an a cappella at the very end, it just takes me back into that place. And the amazing thing is, we're all joined together. Churches all over this world are united. The thing that keeps us together is so much more important than the things that separate us. But we need to be strengthened by the things that separate us. That's what diversity is really all about. And it's so important. Prayer is so important. This is how we experience God. We're grounded in Scripture, but we seek out actual communion with Him, and He invites us to do so. It's not just, you know, going through the motions. It's a process by which we learn about ourselves, we learn about God, and our will is eventually conformed to His, but boy, it's only done through the wrestling that prayer is. In a healthy church, a thriving church, is a prayerful church. We talked about being forgiven. Because if you don't have forgiveness, boy, you just don't have anything. Forgiveness is hard, but if you have the right basis, which is God's forgiveness for us, it's the thing that makes it possible. It's something that I think is not healthy for anybody to be unforgiving, but for Christians, it's especially not okay. Because we have been absolutely and profoundly forgiven. And to be not forgiving to somebody else, I think, means that you haven't really understood what you've been forgiven. A healthy church has to be forgiving. talked about being teachable. I would love it if we were all just morally superior to everybody else. We just did that much better, but maybe that's not the goal to have. I think the goal is that we would at least be willing to listen to correction, to instruction, which is kind of challenging. The week that I talked about this, I talked about Pharisees who were asked a question by Jesus. They don't even consider the right answer. They just consider a way to weasel around and give a popular answer, not be caught in what they think is a trick that Jesus is trying to pull on them. They don't let themselves be teachable, and by not allowing themselves to be teachable, they miss the most important thing of all. I think this brings us up to just last week, which was mission-minded. I think I had the wrong slide up there, but this is what we talked about. Being mission-minded. This is why we are here, to spread the gospel. We even had this big slide that talked about, here's how you talk to somebody who is not receptive to the gospel. You chat with them. You gain trust. You become a friend, not with a little ulterior motive, but you share your life with them. And hopefully they move along the line where they're actually open to hearing about the gospel, and you don't have to just spill it all out immediately to them, but you start to share what Jesus has done in your life. Eventually you may go to one of those elevator speeches where you go, God created us to be with Him, but our sins separate us from God. We can't just have these good deeds that overcome sin. But Jesus died for our, my sin and your sin, so that we can be united with Him. Life with God begins now and lasts forever. And everyone who believes in Him has that eternal life. There's something along those lines. You help them as we go along, and you don't have to do everything for everybody. Not everybody walks somebody through each one of those steps, but everybody should have somebody in their life that they're deliberately trying to move through those steps. And that brings us up to this week, which you just saw earlier, Invested, where we're going to talk about the least popular thing ever, money. Now, being invested has more to do, it's usually time, talents, and treasures, right? But the thing that everybody hates, pastors hate talking about it, the people hate hearing about it. So I could talk about time. Time is important. I could talk about talents. That's important. But I'm the kind of guy who just jumps in. What's the least popular thing? Treasure? Money? All right. Let's just do that. Let's just jump right in. That is what we're going to talk about today. Because it is really, actually, honestly important. It's incredibly important. And if you're a little bit reluctant to go there, to talk about it, to listen to somebody even talk about it, let me just start off by going, I get it. I really get it. I was an atheist for a good period of my life, and when I came back around to believing and trusting in Jesus, I still was really reluctant to go to a church. You know why? Because of these guys. You've probably seen them before. Jim Baker, you remember that guy? Swagger, Jimmy Swagger, crying still. Baker went to prison, rightfully so. I mean, they were up to all kinds of shady stuff, horrible stuff, really. And televangelists made me think they're just after your money. And these guys gave you no reason to believe otherwise, and that was way back when, but it hasn't changed that much. You may recognize Benny Hinn, still out there healing people, and you just read a little bit up on him. And I read something just this last week about somebody who had terrible vision and went there to get faith healed, and he still has terrible vision. He got kind of caught up in the moment, and the money that was raised for an operation seems to have disappeared. Right to be suspicious of him. Creflo Dollar, if you haven't heard of this guy, you know, I don't know that it's right to have, for a pastor to have a Rolls Royce. And I don't want to be too judgy on that, but if you have two of them, I think we're sending the wrong message. Especially if your last name is Dollar, right? The prosperity gospel guy. Really shady kind of folks. And even, we talked about this guy, James McDonald, a couple weeks ago anyway. And he has been removed from his office by the elders because he had a lack of transparency in the way that he's spending money. I don't know that he's like these guys, but it's all one black eye after another. If you're suspicious of the church because they just want your money, I get it. I get it. I've been there too. So I guess we should probably start this whole thing off by saying, Lamb of God does not actually need your money. If you're looking, thinking I'm just asking you to up your donations, we're doing just fine right now. We have, I don't want to say we don't need any. Mike, our treasurer, gave me a little bit of an eye. I'm just kidding. He didn't. We have our budget printed, actually. We have a top-level thing that's available to everybody right here if you want details. We are absolutely transparent. We're going to talk about our budget today in our voters' meeting. So we are not looking to fleece anybody for anything. We're absolutely upfront on that. Second of all, I don't actually need your money. I'm a sugar mama. I'm a woman who takes care of me. Usually you don't expect somebody who looks like me to be a boy toy, but we're doing absolutely fine. Lamb of God is doing fine. I'm doing fine. The thing is, this is not about, and I know it seems like it is, but it's not about what we want from you. This is about what we want for you. If you never invest in a church, you're missing something incredibly important. And that's what I want to talk about today. I'm going to have three different points, so you'll know when I'm almost done. I'll let you know when we get to that. You can start timing now. But the first point is this. There's a whole different kind of economy. We have God's economy versus our economy, and they work really differently. It's not like we learned in school. We get this from the proverb that was just read earlier. I'll read it here again for you. These are the words of Solomon, by the way. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Now, that's just sells it, not just gives it away, but him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Kids, don't use this in school because this won't pass human economy, but it works. I mean, we've all heard these word problems, right? Johnny has 10 apples. If Johnny gives away 5 apples, how many does he have? Well, our economy says 5. But God's economy says, no, I may give him 20 apples. Now that sounds like, it really sounds like how the prosperity gospel guys say, if you want a Rolls Royce, boys and girls, you need to give to the church and God will buy you a Rolls Royce. And it doesn't work like that. So I don't want you to think that that's what I'm saying. Sometimes God actually does come through. I have stories where God does come through when people are generous. God is generous to them, but sometimes it works where God just decreases the wants that you have. He can work it so many different ways. It's incredible. See, there's a story that I had when I was first getting into ministry. My first year, my vicarage, I kind of saved, it's not just money, I saved my stories. Actually, I didn't save my stories. What I did was, I'm only going to be here a year. I'm just going to tell all of my good stories for illustrations. You know, you only have so many, so you've got to kind of ration those things out. I don't want to run out of my stories. But I'm only going to be there for a year. I might as well just use all my good stories here. And I tell this to my senior pastor, and he says, you should always be like that. People who try to hoard these things or try to save them for some big occasion, they will run out. But if you share them, just like money, if you give them away, more will come to you. And it's happened. I've seen it this way for me as well. I was going to share the story of our life where Lori and I got a boat way back when. I've shared that here, and I may bring that back eventually. But I don't have to because another story just kind of came up. It starts with my big blue truck. You guys have seen that. My sugar mama bought that for me. It was fabulous. Had a truck that I hated, and she bought it for me so that I could haul pavers to our house, so it's not, there's a price that comes with that. But when we were looking at it just a little while ago, we thought, you know, we should save some money. We have this horrible, rusty 200,000-mile Honda that now the helmet caps are all gone. If you see me driving this thing around, it really is an eyesore. It's awful. But I don't have the same desire that I had when I was younger to be seen in a really cool-looking vehicle. So, hey, no big deal. No big deal. Except I've been listening to my audiobooks. You can rent them free from the library. I've been listening to those in my fancy truck that has Bluetooth. I just get in, and it just starts playing this thing. I've got it set up. It just starts playing these audiobooks. And I couldn't do that in my piece of junk Honda. So I'm kind of missing something. And then my daughter says, you can get an auxiliary cable that just hooks into your phone and get that done. And so for $8, lo and behold, I am able to experience all. Now I have to start it, and I still have to be seen. You know, kids point at me because it really is an ugly vehicle, but I don't care about that. But this is just one of the ways that God meets your need. This is all I needed. And God sees that, and He honors that. And the only way that you get to really feel that is by stepping out and experiencing. That's my second point. There's knowing, and there's knowing. Those two things aren't the same. Jonathan Edwards was a preacher around the turn of the century, not this century, the last century, in the 1900s, part of the Great Revival. And he has this famous illustration about honey. Now, I could ask, I'll just go ahead and ask. Anybody here never tasted honey before? Maybe a kid? Nobody. Okay, nobody. But you can imagine, possibly. If you had never tasted honey in your life, you still could know that it's sweet, surely. You know, you could go ask. You wouldn't think this is a great conspiracy. Everybody says that it's sweet, but it really tastes like an armpit, right? And they're trying to trick me into that. Why do you say horrible things? Why do you say things like that? Something else, then. Something else horrible. You make up your own mind that it's just a trick. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. You can look at it and see that it's golden and it's pure. It even looks delightful. And you can trust everybody. There may be no doubt in your mind. If you've never tasted it before, you may be sure that it's sweet. No doubt in your mind. And yet, when you taste it, that's a different kind of knowing, isn't it? It's the same thing with the Christian life. It may look like, yeah, I believe that there's a God. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a God and that He is true and pure and powerful and salvific, that He is the only means of our salvation. But it's a different matter when you begin to trust Him with your own money, for instance, with your own life. When you begin to pour into Him and give up things for Him and see how He comes through, you experience God, the goodness of God, in a way that just isn't available otherwise. Well, let me give you, if honey isn't your thing, let me ask you about this. I think this is the way that we see it most clearly. Should I even ask fantasy sports people in here? Yeah, there's some. You don't have to raise your hand. We know each other. You'll know, right? Hey, here's how big fantasy sports is. Fantasy sports is worth, or generates approximately $18.6 billion, and that is $6 billion more. That's fantasy football than football itself generates. This is why I think, despite all the CTE stuff, all the downsides, all the strikes and everything else that has gone on with professional sports, this is why sports are more popular than ever. It's because people are able to draft their own teams and play against each other. And if you can't tell, what I'm talking about is people have become invested in a way that they have never become invested before. Now all of a sudden, they have skin in the game. These games are no longer just played, you know, on the TV that you're just watching if you have nothing else to do on Sunday. They have a real impact on your life. Fantasy sports people, do you know who DeAndre Hopkins is? 2-3 people know who he is. If you play fantasy sports, you know who he is. He's a wide receiver for the Houston Texans. He's the number one wide receiver in terms of fantasy sports. We would love to have him on your team. If you don't care anything about the Houston Texans, and let's face it, who does? Right? Half the people in Houston don't care. But if this guy is on your team, all of a sudden, it's important to you. Why? Because now you are investing. This is knowing in a different way. Knowing versus knowing. It makes all the difference in the world. Well, you listen to what Solomon, wisest man, you know, the original wise guy, had to say about money. How about we see somebody even wiser than him? How about we look at what Jesus says about money? Here's what Jesus says. Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Here's my third point. There's a map versus analysis. Now, here's what I mean by that. There's a famous line. I just pulled it out of the text right beforehand. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You've probably heard people before. A pastor will say, just go and look at your checkbook, look at your bank account, and see where all your money is going. And if you see, all right, there's your house and your car, and then after that, it's golf, 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 golf. Guess where your treasure is? In golf. You can say that God is my treasure, but he's not really your treasure if you're not putting your treasure in him. If that's not where you're spending your money, then you're just kidding yourself. Now, that is analysis. That is looking at where you're spending your money and saying, no, that's not right. That's just an analysis of your behavior. But that is not necessarily what Jesus is saying. What he's saying is that you can draw a map to where you want to be. You don't have to just live there. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. If you move your treasure, then your heart will follow. If you want to care more about something, you can begin to invest in it, and guess where your heart will go? If you don't like the fact that you've stored up your treasure on the 19th hole, you can change that by changing where you begin to invest. We're going to take a look at a Thai insurance commercial. And, well, enjoy. They get this.
ิ่งที่เขาได้คือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักได้ในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
This is I don't know whether it's just beautiful. It is partly beautiful, but it's also totally crass because, like I said, it turns into an insurance commercial. It's embarrassing that a Buddhist country gets this, and we miss it so often. You know, the guy who is just sitting there shaking his head the whole time. Ugh, what an idiot, giving away his food to a stray dog. Oh, look at him giving money to these people. See, he gets it at the end. Just like everybody else, I'm sure his jaw is hitting the ground when he sees this girl who's able to go to school now because of little investments over time. And yet, while he sees that and he can go, wow, just like we go, wow, in here, totally different experience when you are the one who has invested over time. You can go, wow, it's neat that that was taken care of, but when you had a hand in that, night and day. And while, you know, Buddhists can say you've made the world a more beautiful place, we know that by doing this, you have joined in with the creator of the universe. And you're not just knowing that the world's more beautiful, you're knowing the one who made the world. You get to experience stuff through his eyes. Because you're loving people the way he loves people. So how do we do that? Well, number one, here. You give money here if you are a member. If you're not a member, we welcome you here. We say this every time when the offering basket comes around. Your presence here is a gift. But if you're not a member here, I would encourage you to find a place where you are a member, where you get to plug in and you get to be a part of something that is bigger than yourself. And number two, we have this thing that we do at Haiti. Right? We have an orphanage. We have a school. We have Daniel Paul, who is impacting people in that community, just working amazing things in a country where corruption is rampant. If you've heard stories, they're probably just scratching the surface. Corruption is terrible there, and yet Daniel is a great guy who's been stand up, who's been transparent. We get to participate through him in the transformation, I think, of a community, and maybe even beyond that. Haiti is a great way for us to invest. Number three, LAMP. We're looking at exploring that. This is, we're going to begin in B.C., right? Nathan's going to be talking about it in a couple weeks. He's going to be here talking about how we can impact that. Maybe that is the way to go. You know, it's not going to be every single thing for every single person, but maybe that is where you would like to make an impact. How about this? The Pregnancy Resource Center, we just had a baby shower for that. If that's your passion, if that's where you think you can make a difference, you can absolutely make a difference. We can continue to lean in and partner with them. We don't need to start something all on our own. This is one that I thought was going to come up. Zion Lutheran School, look around you. We are all part of this school. This is our local Haiti, where we have a school, not an orphanage, but we have young minds and young spirits and young souls who are being shaped and formed right here, and there is just no end to the way that we can engage with them. All kinds of ways that we can be invested. If that wasn't good enough for you, Jill, would you just, where are you? Jill, yep. Jill is our, Jill Murray is our stewardship maybe we're changing names and things. I don't know. Jill knows a lot about stewardship. She made this thing. It's on the back. It's a list of all the ways that you can get plugged in. I don't care if you are doing something through us, but I think that you need to do something because God has blessed each and every one of us in all kinds of ways, and I want this for you, not from you. I want you to be able to experience God's goodness by being invested, and I know you can do it. Would you pray with me? God, first, I thank you for the way that you have richly blessed us. And it may sound weird, but I also thank you for the unequal distribution of blessings so that we get a chance to bless others. Lord, we all need and we all are able to meet needs, and those things match up a lot of times in weird and wonderful ways. And while your economy just doesn't make sense to us so many times, that by giving we receive, that doesn't make sense. I pray that you would give us the courage to just try it, to see if it's not true, to test you and see if your economy does actually work. You're waiting to bless us in ways that we cannot imagine. And they don't all have to be huge, Lord. I hope I didn't try to sound like I was trying to be a hero earlier when I talked about driving around a junky car. That's not a big sacrifice, and I know that, Lord, but small sacrifices you honor. And I pray that we would all get to experience that. Just the joy of knowing that we are part of your plan and that you're using us. And it means something, God, that you've honored us by inviting us to be a part of it. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who lives in Christ. Amen.